Dish from Waitrose is an SE Creative Studio production.
Clarence Court is home to Britain's widest collection of free-range eggs since 1928. Our traditional heritage birds produce a distinctively rich and iconic yolk that takes home cooking from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Loved by chefs and favoured by foodies, each shell is stamped with its own royal crown. It's time for you to discover the wonderful world of fabulous eggs by fabulous birds. Clarence Court.
This podcast may contain some strong language and adult themes. Attention, please. This is Dish from Waitrose.
You sound like you're in the supermarket. Aisle five.
Oh my God, we should
five,
do that.
There's been a spillage.
We should do. I want to be a voice in Waitrose. I do. Anyway, welcome along to Dish. This is Nick Grimshaw.
Angela Arnott.
You may know our voices from your local supermarket.
Hello.
How are you, Ange?
I'm very well, thank you, Nick.
Yeah?
How are
you? Yeah, I'm good. I'm excited that we're back and...
Back, doing
back
it,
together,
busy.
Doing Dish. People really miss it, and I'm not saying this to be humble, but I can't believe people do. People are like, oh, thank God it's back. I'm like, wow, really?
Yes, wow, no,
people
really
do listen.
People do listen.
People really, really listen.
Lots of people stop me and say, love Dish, love it. Yeah, randoms.
Actual randoms. People do listen. And before we speak about today's guest and what we are going to be doing on Dish today, I thought we could hear from one of them people that do actually listen to Dish.
Like, and we are very grateful for
We are. We sound like we're being flippant.
Yeah, well, no, we've really...
Feel like... coming to work, this does it really?
No.
It probably does for you because you have to cook loads of meals. But for me, I'm like, oh my God, nice bit of lunch and a glass.
Yeah, lovely.
So thank you. And thanks for getting in touch with us. If you do ever want to get in touch with us about anything, dish@waitrose.co.uk is the way to do it.
Yes.
That is the way to get hold of you, I reckon.
I'm just all about email. That's my
email.
My form of
communication. So if you want Ange, this is the way to do it. Email. My nephew messaged me today saying, oh, will you follow me on something? And I was like, what's that? And he was like, oh, it's a new platform for club culture.
Oh,
I was like,
God.
Oh no. I'm trying to do less,
How's your
not more.
TikTok going, by
Yeah,
the
it's
way.
Doing good.
Is it?
Oh my God. Do you know what?
You're like with Gordon, yeah?
No. But we're on, let's see what we're on, 84,000.
So I have to be on TikTok to see your TikTok?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to see it then.
Yeah, no, sack it off. It's basically...
I'm on there. Why am I on there?
Because you're on there.
Oh my God.
You're on my TikTok because you're on it every week.
Oh my Lord.
Yeah. So you do have a TikTok present.
I have a TikTok present.
I don't know
whether that's allowed. Should you have asked me about
no,
that? Is that not an infringement of my rights?
As if. You signed them away four series ago. They've gone, Ange. That one's gone now.
We'll be renegotiating contract five. Okay.
Right, let's hear from Liz, who has emailed us. Hi, Liz. And Liz says, hi, I don't have a question. But I do just want to say how much I love the podcast and Nick and Ange, who are just amazing. Oh, thank you, Liz. You are saving my soul. My mum, soon to be 89, is in a care home with dementia. Aww. And it is a 15-mile journey one way to go and see her, which I do several times a week. I found Dish late into series two, so I had the back catalogue to accompany me in the car. It was amazing as I'd never know what would meet me at the care home. So thank you. You have cheered me up immensely and still do. She says cheers from Liz.
Aww,
oh, Liz. Thank you for that, Liz. I love that you listen to us when you're making those journeys and that we can help and make you feel, you know, however you want to feel from listening to us before you go see your mum. But sending you lots of love, Liz. That is really nice to hear. Thank you.
And well done doing
lovely,
all
Liz.
That.
Yeah, all that driving and dedication to your mum.
Yeah.
Shall we talk about our guest today?
Indeed, we should.
Jay Blades, who people will know as kind of like the nicest, realist man on the telly.
Mm.
He has an MBE for services to crafts and he presents The Repair Shop, which is one of the BBC's like biggest,
huge.
Most loved, huge primetime shows.
Like 7 million, 8 million people.
Yeah, it's huge.
It.
So he started out on BBC Two and it was sort of a bit culty, like, oh, that's quite cute. And now it's full on BBC One, primetime. Like the King's been on it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. And it's a really good idea for a programme.
It feels like it's sort of the X Factor of craft in a way. You know, because you follow people on a journey, don't you?
Yeah.
You sort of, you know, you look at it and think, what's that old chair? What's that? And then you realise
the story.
That, you know, they gave birth to their firstborn on that chair or something. Do you know what I mean? But it is like that, which is quite incredible, I think. Yeah.
And you've got a mutual friend, you two.
Who's my mutual friend?
The King.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, me and Charles.
Yeah, the King.
Yeah.
All right, let's get our guest in. Today on Dish, we have the man who can restore your furniture, but also your soul. It's Jay Blades, MBE, everybody. Hi, Jay.
Hello.
Hi, Jay.
How are you?
I'm very good. How are you guys? All
very well, thank you.
Yeah. Right.
Have you cooked? You. I heard you're cooking dinner or something.
I am. I'm cooking you your supper. For your supper now, Jay.
I can't sing. I'll dance. I'll do a little something
for you. Do a little dance for us, yeah? All right. The floor is yours. Yeah, I've got a lovely supper for you, so I hope you like fish.
Yeah, and I'm starving.
Good. Are you?
Good. I was told not to eat.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I'm proper hungry.
When was the last time you ate?
well, just in that room there, I had a couple of grapes and, one olive.
It's not really eating, is it?
No, it's not.
Little starter.
Yeah,
just a little starter.
One olive. Yeah. One olive. Yeah. But welcome, Jay. We're dead excited you're on.
Oh, thank you.
How are you? How is life?
I tell you what, life is good. Sometimes when you pause, it's the weirdest thing, because then you're able to take in like everything that's happening. Normally, I'm just going from thing to thing to thing. And then when you sit down, it's normally when I'm hungry. Mm. You might get a few references to being hungry. But it's a case of, you take it all in. It's really good.
Yeah, great.
It's unbelievable what's happening to me. I mean, crazy.
But I don't imagine you stop. I imagine you're someone that is like, what's going on in 3 months? What am I doing next? And just... Because you're enthusiastic about life. That's why we love you.
I was saying to someone once that I wake up really early in the morning. Mm. I mean, sometimes I wake up 5 o'clock in the morning. I said to them, why do you think I wake up that early? And then they said, because you're excited for life.
I like getting up early because you actually feel you've achieved something, even though for the rest of the day you might do something.
You might do nothing.
The fact you've got up early and done a few things. I'm done for the day. It's marvellous.
Yeah, I saw it. I was up early.
Yeah. But the only thing I don't like doing waking up early is feeding the dogs.
Oh, okay.
Because the smell of dog food 3 a.m.
It's
disgusting.
Yeah, so a little bit of starvation.
Yeah, wait till late.
Yeah, wait till late.
But you're out in the countryside, right?
Yeah, I'm in Wolverhampton.
Oh, Wolverhampton?
Yeah, Shropshire side.
And what made you make the move of...
Well, up there.
Up there?
I tell you what, it was 8 years ago. I think it's 8 years ago. What were we in 2020? Yeah. Oh, it's almost 9 years. In April, it'd be 9 years. Mm. So almost 9 years ago, what happened was everything flopped for me. The business, the relationship, everything. And
this was a charity that went...
Yeah, it was a charity, and we also had a business, and then I was running it with my ex-wife. Yeah. And basically, I couldn't see myself being in tomorrow, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
And as I couldn't see myself being in tomorrow, what happened was I got in a car, was living in High Wycombe at the time, got on the M40 and was looking for a bridge to crash into.
Right,
So basically, me and my naivety didn't know that every bridge has a barrier, if that makes sense. So I'm driving up the M40, there's a bridge there, all right, put foot down a little bit, there's a barrier, next one. I kept on doing that. And then I got to the M5 where the car started flashing. There was like the petrol light came on. Mm. Went in there, filled up with some petrol, went to like a retail park, sat in there for about a week. And I never knew at the time that my ex-wife had reported me missing. So basically what happened, as soon as I came out of there, after being in there for a week, I was hungry and I was... Yeah, this one's quite funny, actually. I just remembered this. So basically what happened is my stomach was talking to me, proper hungry. Mm-hmm. And then I saw this like fast food place over the way. And I said, right, I'm going to go and have some food. So it's a bit like, you know, if you're ever you're on a tube and there's someone standing beside you, they're not touching you, but you can feel they're coming to your
presence.
Their presence is there. Mm. So I'm walking across this car park and I could feel someone's presence. And I look behind me and there's no one there. And what it basically was, it was my body odor. It had its own postcode. Ooh. You know what I mean? It was proper strong.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
In that car for that many days. Yeah.
So then basically I said, right, I'm not going in now, stink. Went to a hotel, said to the geezer, oh, look, mate, I'm just going to go get some shower gel and I'll come back. Here's the money for the room, but I smell a bit. And you normally know when you smell, because normally they tell you, like, oh, no, you don't smell. This geezer just stood back. here we go. So then I got my shower gel, came back to the room, and there was five people waiting for me. There was a psychiatric nurse. I think there was two of them. Mm-hmm. And then there was another really stern, like, matron that was there. And then there were two police officers. And they started interviewing me. And all this time, I'm like, I wanted to take a shower. I need to have a bath. I stink. Mm. And it was only when they said to me, oh, we don't have to section him. And I was like, who are you sectioning? Because I'd done 20 years in community and I knew, like, what sectioning was. And then they said I was going to section you because we thought you was going to be a harm to yourself and harm to others and all that kind of stuff. And then they left me, and because they had notified my ex-wife, she then notified a guy that was living in Wolverhampton who I got on quite well with, and then he came and got me. And that's how I've stayed in Wolverhampton.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's the reason why I'm there. And that was 9 years. It was 2015, I think. Yeah, 2015.
Wow.
So it's not... That we're not, because reading your book, you know, you think it was longer what happened, but actually, in time of life, it's quite recent. In lots of ways.
All of this stuff has just happened recently. Yeah. I mean, it's all just blown up. Like it's unbelievable. Sometimes when I pause and I look at my life, I'm just like, really? Is that me? It's like, is that really happening to me? I've got some friends now that I can call up. That's like, I would never have thought this would have ever happened to me. It's just like, wow.
But given your sort of work in, as you say, you know, you were working in care homes, you were looking after mentally ill people.
Yeah.
You didn't recognise any of the signs? Obviously not.
No,
you felt,
one of the signs that, and I don't think they taught me this in the care homes, one of the signs that I really recognise now was I was doing a lot of charity work. So looking after people for like 20 years, care homes, homeless places, hostels, you name it, I was doing stuff. And basically, I never thought that I would be able to ask these people for help. So I knew I was vulnerable, I was going down, I felt it. I just knew something was wrong. But I felt such a way that I couldn't ask them and say, well, look, I need help.
Yeah.
Because you're helping these people and then you're going to ask them for help. It's a weird dynamic.
Yeah.
And where I was born and bred was in Hackney. If you showed your kind of vulnerability growing up in the 70s and 80s, you became a victim.
Mm.
And that's what I never wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was like, the reality was, I didn't know where to go.
Yeah.
And all it was, especially when Gerald came and got me at that hotel, showing my vulnerability actually gave me strength.
Mm.
By crying in front of another man and he never took the mickey, and then everything that's happened after that, me just letting my guard down, it's just like, was that how easy it was?
Mm.
It's just like, it's unbelievable, unbelievable.
Mm. And I guess you sort of like, I'm getting the sense you sort of like surrendered into it.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I was crying loads. Yeah. I mean, it was insane. 2015... There was loads of crying, there was loads of counselling and loads of support that I'd received. It's kind of, even thinking about it now, it's just like, wow, it's nuts, isn't it? Like where I am now, like sitting here, going to be fed in a minute.
Allegedly.
Don't worry, it is coming. It is coming.
I'm just saying.
He is hungry.
I'm just saying. Like this table's nice, but it ain't got a plate on it. You know what I mean? I need something.
I'm happy you're here, Jay, and I'm happy you're on time today because I heard you had a terrible timing dinner mishap. You did.
Oh, yeah.
With Dame Judi Dench.
Oh, why are you going there?
I love it.
Dame Judi.
You got to share the story because this is unreal.
Oh, wow. No, all it was... No, it wasn't all it was. It's quite embarrassing. Well, the Dame invited us to dinner, me, hugs and kisses, to come down there and basically... Yeah, the traffic was bad and it was raining. There was a lot. We set off on time, but we was like over an hour late. And we was there, we was meant to be there for lunch. And I think the time was 12:30 to, no, let's say it was 1 o'clock. I think we got there about three. It was it was really bad. I feel really, but she welcomed us with open arms. It was like everybody waited. They were starving, a bit like myself.
You'd be like now.
Yeah, so it's kind of, no, I really like
her.
She's
you meet Dame Judi Dench and end up going for tea or lunch?
I met her, she came to the repair shop. We was going to do the Royal Special. And she knows the boss, who's the king, basically, the governor. And she was going to then meet up with him. And as she was going to meet up with the boss after, he had COVID the first time he was going to come, so he didn't come. But then we was having a chinwag, me and her, and we just got on like a house on fire.
Yeah.
So that's how I met her. And then from that, I think we did the Comic Relief Special.
Yes.
With Jennifer.
That one was nice.
And then ever since that, she sends me messages. She's done a couple of jingles for me because I play music on the radio. And then once I surprised her at, where was it? We was at this theatre. She was doing a tour, three dates. And basically sorted it out with her daughter that I would be her personal, like, present, a Christmas present.
Yeah.
It was during the Christmas time. And then, so they was chatting to her and they said, oh, you've got a doll and all that. She said, yeah, I've got a teddy bear. It needs to get fixed. And then I said, oh, why don't you take it to a repair shop, is what the guy said. And she goes, oh, that would be nice. He said, you like Jay, didn't you? And then she just went, oh, Jay. And it was like, wow. And they said, well, why don't you tell him? And she's like, what? Is he here? And then I came out, and then you should have seen her face. It was absolutely beautiful. Oh. But yeah, she's a real gem.
Oh,
real gem.
Have you met her, Ange?
A few times. She's just the loveliest, loveliest person.
Oh.
She really is. She sent me flowers after this lunch she had at Murano. Oh,
did you cook for her?
Yeah, a few times.
You didn't
keep
her waiting, though, did you?
No, I didn't keep her waiting, Jo. Oof, no.
I'm just saying.
Right, here we go.
That's it.
Food
Thank
is
you.
Served.
Let's see that there.
There you go,
Jay. Oh, look at that.
Wow, Ange, this looks really good.
Yeah, really good.
Really good. Wow, really so we've got good. A full sea bream with brown butter champ and charred salad onions.
Yeah. Okay.
What is champ?
Yeah, what is champ?
So champ, I think, is like the Irish dish. I may be wrong here, but it's always with spring onions, cabbage, anything like that, or leeks. So basically mashed potato with leeks.
Oh, yeah, I like a bit of champ.
Do you like that? And burnt butter means it's like a brown butter, so you take it to the point that it's just about to burn, and that gives it that nuttiness in it. Yeah.
Wait, nuttiness.
Oh, that potato. Evil, oh, my God. Do you know what's so funny? When I came in today, I just was in France, and I told Angela about this potato that I had, and I said it was the best potato I've ever had. And I feel like that sparked something inside of you.
Yeah, she said, right.
She was like, that. Because that... is the best potato I've ever had. This is so good. Talk to me about champ. How did you make that so delicious?
Just mashed potato. Mm-hmm. The butter, as I said, you take a bit of butter, about 50 grams, take that to the point as it starts to bubble and go brown. You call that bernoisette. And then in another pan with some milk, I've got the salad onions, these spring onions, all the white bits, chopped up finely.
Yeah.
And they're being cooked in the milk. And you add that with the butter to the mashed potato.
Oh, wow. This is a really good meal. This is a good sort of spring meal.
You've done a lot of work, but actually it's not a lot of work. It's not that easy.
And then with a little endive salad.
Yeah, and then you just flip it over when you do want to eat the other side.
Absolutely delicious. If you want to try this, waitrose.com/dish recipes. All the ingredients used, of course, are from Waitrose. And you can go on there if you want to do the recipe. It's as easy as Ange makes it. Although Ange does make everything sound really easy. Like,
you tell me
about it. Bit of butter, bit of dill.
Yeah.
5 minutes each side.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah, cut this bit out. Me, this is nice. You know when you're hungry.
Let's get that bit in.
You know when you're hungry, And it's like, this is a dish that I know I wanted to eat, but I never knew I wanted to. I never knew I was going to be here. This is... absolutely perfect. I love fish. At home, I always have fish.
Do you?
Always. I'm quite boring. I have the same...
Yeah, I love fish.
And then, all right.
And she says, I have a steak. I've got to have steak and chicken once a month. Is what I got. But it's mainly fish.
Right, nice.
But this is gorgeous.
And tell us how to make this then.
So
how would you do?
So it's whole sea bream.
Yeah.
You take
just go to the fish counter and ask for a sea bream.
Yeah, whole sea bream. Make sure it's gutted and scaled and they've... snipped all the fins off for you. Then take some dill, butter, lemon rind, mix that all together, loads of chopped dill. Mm-hmm. And then basically inside the cavity of the fish, and I put some on top as well.
Yeah.
And basically you've slashed it, so you've made some incisions in the skin, so it all goes through the skin. And then under the grill for about 5 minutes each side. So it has that lovely...
Well, that's
it.
Is that all?
Yeah, it's not
5 minutes?
Yeah, each side, it's about 10, 12 minutes. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
To cook it like that?
Yeah.
Well, that took...
about 12 minutes, 12, 15, 15 max, where's Sam? Oh yeah, God. Exactly, 15 max.
Wow, so what were we waiting for? What wine do you think's good with this?
We've got Patricius Tokaj, which is a Hungarian wine. Lovely dry white wine, 2021, available at Waitrose. Very nice.
And if you don't like wine, you can have a cup of Rosie Lee. They've got tea bags at Waitrose as well.
Yeah, you can have one of them. Yeah.
Yeah, but they've upset you, Waitrose. What don't
What's your beef
you?
With Waitrose?
There's a beef we heard.
Uh-oh.
Which isn't beef, obviously.
Yeah, no, it ain't beef. I used to come to Waitrose almost every day, and they used to have a bagel tart.
Yeah.
And the bagel tart, I loved it. I couldn't get enough of it because they used to sell a Dutchie one.
Right.
The Dutchie one went. I don't know what happened to it. It just went. And then Waitrose did their own. Mm-hmm. Gorgeous little thing it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could put it in the oven. Like someone like me who doesn't cook, I loved it. Then... I went in there to get my bagel tart and it wasn't there. I asked the counter, where's the bagel tart? Oh, we stopped doing it. I said, why did you stop doing it? Oh, it wasn't a bestseller. I was the only one buying it. Yeah?
I can't quite believe in the whole of the UK.
I tried it. Yeah. Well, it's a local one in Wolverhampton
that
stopped doing it.
Okay.
Wolverhampton might not be a good place.
The Bakewell region.
So basically, I went to another one. They stopped it. They stopped doing it all over. gutted. Personally, I do have an MBE.
Bit away.
I do know Dame Judi Dench, and I also know Sir David. I know the King as well. Baked wool tart, back on the menu, back on the shelf.
Yeah, please. Come on, make it happen. Hey.
Hey.
I know what you need to tell Jay.
Huh?
Yes.
You've got something that you want fixing.
So who, who can fix like a pane of glass?
Oh, that's easy.
Well, give him the backstory. You like the backstory on the repair show. Come on.
Okay.
So I got broken into last week.
So my grandparents emigrated from Italy.
Oh, right.
So they emigrated from Italy and they ended up running fish and chip shops. And they ran one in East London in Beckentry.
Can I ask a question that might be stupid?
Yeah.
Do they have chippies in Italy?
No, it's ironic. No. All of them came over and did like cafes.
Quite mad in it to leave delicious Italian cuisine and be like, let's fry
some fish to death.
But they, and there were three brothers, and the one had one in Barking, one in Beckentry, and one in Dagenham. And then, anyway, eventually they all retired, sold up. But we, there were some lovely panes of glass which they would have hanging up, you know.
Yeah.
And my uncle gave me one from the fish and chip shop and it had pictures of the fish and everything. Yeah, and it was beautiful, very retro and a bit sort of kitsch and stuff. Anyway, I had it at home, meaning that one day I was going to put it up somewhere. Yeah. And, of course, the builder broke the bottom of it.
Oh, wow.
So I've got a pane like this side and then a bag of just broken bits of glass.
Not good.
So I need to know who can fix all that together.
Yeah, that's Matt. Stained glass.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll put you in contact with him.
Will you? Do you mind?
Yeah, no, straight up.
Thank
you. Yeah, he's a good geezer. He does a lot of cathedrals and whatever.
Yeah.
So is it hand-painted or is it like the actual pictures on there?
I think it's hand-painted.
Yeah. Match your man.
All right.
And you know when it's not clear? What's that word when it's...
Like opaque.
Frosted. Like frosted.
Frosted
at the bottom.
So this was on the front door then or something?
So basically it was either on the front door of the fish and chip shop or sometimes, you know when you have bits like where the till was and then they'd go into the little restaurant bit.
So it was a proper fish and chip shop?
Oh, yeah, proper fish and chip shop. And then the worst is we were over at Christmas at my aunt's place and she got one and my uncle's put it up and it all looks amazing and everyone's going, oh, look at that, look at that. Where's yours, Angela? Where's yours?
I'm going,
oh, God. Smashed. And I'm like, yeah, we're going to do that. And I'm lying through my teeth again, all. So now.
Well, why don't we strike a deal here?
Yeah.
Angela, you get Jay's baked grill tart back in my
house.
Yes, please. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or otherwise, I'll get it fixed for you.
That's the trade off.
Yeah,
because that's what I always get shocked out about. You can make baked grill tarts, can't you?
Yes, you can.
Yeah. It's great. No. It doesn't register with me. You know what I mean?
All right, maybe that's an easier trade off. You get the glass fix and you get Jay
a baked grill tart.
Okay, for how long, though?
Yeah, a few.
I used to have one every week.
One a week. So 52?
Well, that's the deal. I like that.
Let's do a year's baked grill tart.
A year's worth. Baked grill tart.
No problem, I can do that. I can sort that right out.
Thank you. Right, Angela needing something repaired, we actually do need to talk about the repair shop as a program as well, or people will, you know, people will complain. BAFTA winning.
Thank you.
Who won the BAFTA?
They won the BAFTA.
Do they tell you before, like when you've got the night, do they say like, you might win this, or is it... Proper surprise.
No, it's proper surprise. I mean, amazing. It's a bit like the, what's that one other one we won? Is it the NTAs? The National...
Yeah, the NTA. Yeah.
So they don't tell you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like they keep it secret. And then like you find out and then you're like, what? We really have won? Because the BAFTA is a big deal. We went went there 1 year and we never won. And I hate not
winning. Who were you up against? Who were your competitors that one?
That was a daytime one. So you're up against kind of like the Chase this morning. The regulars.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm a bit of a sore loser. I'm not competitive, but I'm a bit of a sore loser. Yeah. So one time we was at an RTS one. And we didn't win. So as we didn't win, I just walked out.
I know who we need to talk about. The governor, as Jay calls him.
The boss.
AKA the king.
Yeah.
MBE, congratulations.
Thank you very much. Very kind of you.
Angela, MBE. Congratulations.
Very much. Thank you.
What did you get yours one for? Was it for cooking?
For services to hospitality. I do quite a bit of charity work and then sort of like supporting it. Like you give back to the industry that I think we all look back and go, God, we're lucky, you know.
No, we are lucky.
No, so I think sometimes, you know, as my mate always said, he goes, we're kings, you know, compared to a lot of people.
Oh, bless,
and he's right. So I always think if your industry's done good by you, you should give something back. Mm-hmm.
Oh, look at you. You're a nice person.
I know.
Let's go over to Nick.
Yes, Nick, what have you done?
I'm just asking.
I think it's coming.
is your charity work coming?
I think it's coming.
He's going to be knighted.
He's going to be knighted.
He's going right up.
Angela had your MBE given by the king himself.
Yes, I did.
And of course, the king came on the repair shop.
How was it meeting...
Mad question. How was it meeting the king?
Well, he was a prince then when we met him. Mm. What was weird is that we went up there and the producers were really worried about me meeting him and so on and so forth.
Why?
So, I don't know.
What do they think you were going to do?
No, producers sometimes worry. Mm. Unnecessary.
Yeah.
Because you just let people just talk. Just let them have a chinwag. Yeah. They're cool. They can do it. But we had to rehearse. God, blimey. I think it was 2 days. Right. So I had someone pretending to be the prince, as he was then, walking around and all that kind of stuff. And basically, he never did any of the stuff that we rehearsed to do.
Yeah.
He just did his own thing. And it was just, it was absolutely fine. Mm. He was and still is a real gem. So much so that me and him got on. Yeah, he asked me to host his 75th birthday party.
Oh, wow!
But it's surreal. You know when you get a I'm saying it like you know. But you know when you get a phone call from one of the prince, the king's assistants and says, oh, Jay, His Majesty would like you to host his 75th birthday party. And I'm like, are you for real? And I know the person, so I'm like, this must be real because they don't ring you up and ask that anyway.
Yeah, they're not like a little bit of a joke. Yeah, a little bit of a joke.
Oh, April Fools. Yeah, none of that. So basically, went up there and did it. And they said to me, well, look, he's inviting people from the Windrush generation because it all was all the 75th year. NHS, and the people from the local community who've been doing above and beyond, like charity work and what have you, especially during COVID. So he said to me, not the king, but his assistant said to me, they don't know he's coming. So you do the rounds and speaking to all the people, and then he comes in after, like I introduced him. So I'm like the warm-up act,
you know what I mean?
And then he comes in, speaks to everybody. It was a surreal moment. There was a time when he was walking around and I was with him, and then I'm just looking and I'm like, hold on, that's the king. You know what I mean? You know when it didn't really dawn on me before, but it's only then you're looking around and you're looking at how people look at him and then you're like, I'm all right with the king. This is crazy. And me and him did get on.
I imagine the repair shop's really up his street because way before everyone started talking about climate change and looking after the environment and, you know, being more sustainable, he's been doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been doing it for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
And so something like that where you're, restoring stuff will be absolutely, I imagine, what he loves.
He loves it like you wouldn't believe. Yeah. And up in Scotland, in Dumfries House, he runs a place up there, the King's Foundation, and basically it's all about teaching these heritage crafts and making sure they stay alive. So he's not only behind it, he's actually putting his money where his mouth is, so basically doing the job.
Yeah.
And we had a proper chinwag. I mean, no one, I think it's the BBC said this to me, that they never have seen him so relaxed since he was at that show that he did with us. He's just super relaxed because he's in his element.
I love the idea of him being like, oh, let's get the repair shop on.
Exactly.
Like getting a little broom, getting ready to watch the repair shop.
Just sit down there.
It's good telly. Let's talk about your new show that you are doing with a legend, David Jason.
God, let me tell you something.
Like, jeez.
That geezer, I call him DJ. that's he
is. Can't wait for the nickname.
DJ.
I've got the governor, the DJ.
But DJ, he's as sharp as a tack. Yeah. I mean, like, this guy, he's a comedy legend. But one of the things I must say to him, I take on board, he's 83 years old, and he done something he's never done in his entire career. He done unscripted. So basically, throughout his career, he reads a script. Mm. They tell him what to say and all that kind of stuff. So he's acting in that. But this time, we just wanted him. And he was so much, like, it was like a fish out of water.
Yeah.
It was kind of uncomfortable, first of all, I would say, for about an hour. And then he realised, and I remember he said something to me, he goes, you are a brilliant double act. Because it's like, I say something, is what he said, and then you have something to say straight away. He's thinking of what was the script he's got to remember and all that kind of stuff.
And what's the premise of the show? Explain it to us.
Well, the show is basically, it's upskilling people. So there's people that come along who are tinkerers. So they make stuff in either their shed, their bedroom, or wherever they make it. So, for instance, we had a lady who came along who makes puppets.
Right.
And she didn't know how to get the puppets to move. She wanted them to be animated. Mm. So then we team her up with an expert who makes puppets and shows her, all right, this is where you add the strings, this is where you add the motor, and this is what you do. So almost everybody leaves us being upskilled. So they learn something and then they can go on and continue doing what they're doing, keep on tinkering in a way, shape
or
form.
Yeah. I love the idea of that.
Yeah.
I love the idea of that. Do you know what's so funny though? Only Fools and Horses, my brother, it's like whenever I think of David Jason, I think of my brother because he's 14 years older than me.
Yeah.
And he loves it and never, ever not on, right?
Yeah.
So now
you
know it's always on like gold or something.
Yeah, yeah, UK
it's
gold.
Like,
yeah.
Always on. And we've seen every episode and he's obsessed with it. Yeah. So when I heard you were doing this show, I had to ring my brother and be like, there's a new David Jason offering for you.
Yeah.
To watch Only Fools and Horses.
And he is shot.
From the 80s. Yeah. So if you've not seen it, go check it out. David and Jay's Touring Toolshed. You can see it on iPlayer right now. The whole series is up there, right?
Yes.
Yeah, go and check it out. DIY.
Yes.
How does it go down in your house, Ange? Oh. Are you...
Well, put it like this. There was a,
that was an exhale.
There was this
big picture that Neil and I were trying to put up. And I think, first of all, fatal to do it in a partnership. Like the guy does it, the wife does it, whoever wants to do it, the partner does it. But doing it together is a nightmare.
It's a nightmare.
Because I'm sitting there going, you need to do this. And he's going, no, you need to do that. We were supposed to be going for dinner at 7:30. We ended up an hour late because neither of us would leave this house until we got this picture up. We took it down the other day because we were painting the room. There's about 12 holes in the wall. And we realised how bad it was because we just could not figure out we were just stupid. So now, not stupid.
You've never done it. I bet you can cook amazingly.
Yeah.
As you can.
Thank you.
But we're doing DIY. It's just,
you can't
it's just
do
a skill.
No.
You can't do
you
everything.
Can't do
everything.
You're
right,
but
Nick.
You sort of like, you know, I feel like I'm failing if I have to call someone to put a picture up. You know,
that is a bit strong. Yeah. To call someone
a picture, it's just a nail.
No, but the thing is, because we've got an old house, if you knock a nail into our wall, it starts to crumble.
And it's that whole sort of thing,
you know. Yeah. I saw a bit of crumbling wall at my mum's the other day, and I just put something in front of it.
DIY.
DIY.
Yeah, I'll deal with that.
Put a plant in front of it, and something like that. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll be sending you your hairdress, Jay, if you don't mind popping around.
Oh, bless you.
There. Oh, I can only do like low level stuff. I know
level.
You're right.
Like, hold on, you and me painted your hall. You were amazing.
Yeah, but I was only allowed to do like the middle. So Mish was like, don't do the edges, don't go to the bottom. And I was painting, and he came over to me, and I was painting one side, and he was doing up the stairs, and he went, I'm saying this with love.
Oh, God.
When you're painting, I said, yeah. He went, are you thinking, let me do this good or let me do this quick? And I went, let me do it quick. And he was like,
you can tell.
Yeah, he was like, let me just do it.
Yeah, let me
He's
do
like,
it.
He's like, make it good. And I was like, no, I'll be all right.
I like doing it, but I'm just not very good at it. I think it's a wonderful thing to do, like if you build something
or paint in your house, like I love that feeling of doing something. I think it's really good to like ground you and mentally, it definitely is.
One of the things when I first started getting into I've been doing DIY for a long time and then I taught young people how to restore and revamp old furniture, and there's a lot of young people who are not great academically, but they're brilliant at making stuff with their hands and fixing things. And when you see their faces with that sense of achievement, as into like, oh, I did that, that's the joy of making DIY. I think if you can make something or you get good at it, it's a case of it will really make you feel good all the time when you look at that piece of furniture. Or if you put a picture up the right way and it hasn't got like 12 holes behind it.
I'm going to try that this year.
There's easy ways. There's easy ways to do it, really. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a good feeling because sometimes with schoolwork or learning at school certain things, I'd be like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, what is algebra?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What am I learning it?
Yeah, what am I going to use that for?
What am I going to use that for?
Yeah.
And then there's a feeling of when you've done something, you physically see. And a lot throughout my life, through whatever I've done, like radio, you know, you put your work into it and then you do it and it's just gone.
Yeah,
so there's never anything tangible left.
Yeah.
So when I do something like decorate a spare room, I'm like, wow.
Yeah,
I feel prouder than that of like doing the radio for years because I can see it and be in it.
But that's interesting what you said, because reading your biography and you know how your schooling was.
Yeah, a bit naughty.
Also, you got to a stage where no teacher actually diagnosed that you were dyslexic or anything.
No.
And they didn't understand the skills behind what you had there in these hands. You know, there's a natural skill there.
Yeah.
So, and you look back and you think, well, why, if someone was teaching Jay how to build something, they would have clicked.
Yeah.
You know, instead of, and it's a bit like, why in maths do they teach algebra? Why don't they teach people how to actually do the sums for a week's shopping or learn how to pay your rent?
What's a mortgage?
What's
practical? I need that lesson now.
Yeah. Now you've got the king's ear, Jay. I feel you're influencing
look at you.
The curriculum of the next generation.
I don't think he's got the power to dabble in the curriculum, but it is. I have worked at a number of schools, and the sad thing is that we're teaching 8 and 9 year olds for jobs that don't really exist.
Yeah.
They're going to create the future jobs. But what the educational system works on a lot is more intelligent minds.
Yeah.
And they're not thinking about intelligent hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And those people that can make stuff and do things. And that's the sad state of affairs. Yeah. So it's one of those things where I try my best not to get involved in politics, a bit like what the governor does. You just get up and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know
I mean,
of course,
just do it. And then once they see what you're doing, then they jump on board and try to copy or support you in some way, shape, or form. Yeah.
I know.
So I'll just do it.
Yeah, just do it.
Me and Nick will be at the back of the class.
Yeah.
Come on, Nick, we can do this.
We can do this.
He's putting a picture up.
We can do this. Right, we have our end of show question for you, Jay.
Okay.
I'm going to open this envelope, read you this question.
Okay.
If you choose to answer it, you will be going home today with a Waitrose goodie bag.
Oh.
Right, now, Jay, you are hailed as the saviour of our stuff. But to win a Waitrose goodie bag, can you tell us about one of your personal DIY disasters?
Oh, DIY
have you
disaster.
Tried restoring anything that actually you were like, this needs to go in the bin now? destroyed it.
Yeah,
has that ever happened?
Yes, it has happened, actually. So I had this table once and I decided that I'm going to rub it down, paint it all black and so on and so forth. I got the table donated to me and I remember when we painted it black, one of the young people pulled out a drawer. And they said, oh, Jay, what's this on the side? And I was like, oh, I don't know what it is. There's a sign on the side of it. I don't know what it is. I'll check it out. So they were kind of savvy with the internet. When Jay, I think this is worth some money. Do you want to ring someone? Because they've got a table just like this one. And I said, well, it won't be worth anything. He goes, no, ring this guy. So I rang this guy in Scotland and he said to me what the actual thing was. It was some really expensive table. I had painted this table in lovely black with mint green drawers. The table was originally, without doing anything to it, was worth £25,000.
No!
And I painted it black, and I told the geezer, oh, I painted it black, mate, and I've done the drawers really nice, gonna put some new handles on there. And he goes, and what he said to me, this antique dealer, he said, he called me a couple of names, first of all, because it was a Scottish designer, and he effed them blind, and he said, well, look, all seriousness, that table's probably worth about 15 quid now.
Oh,
no. Yeah. You could have sanded it off.
No, because I had already told him what I had done. And the thing about it with like restoration or antiques, if you rub it all down, you've got rid of the original varnish, the original patina, et cetera, et cetera. Right. So I made it like nice and smooth. That was, that one I'm not really proud of.
No.
Yeah.
You still got it?
Jesus.
No, we sold it. We sold it for 50 quid, actually.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not great. Just a loss of £24,500.
A lot of money, Nick.
A lot of money. Wow. It's a bad disaster. I thought you were going to be like, oh, yeah, I chipped a thing once. No. Ruined a 25 grand table.
And the charity could have done with that money.
Oh.
And that's what we did after we started checking all of the donations that we had.
Quick Google.
Just a quick search.
Amazing story. You do win the goodie bag.
Oh, thank you.
Ruin the table, but the bag is yours.
There's not 25 grand in there, is there?
Yeah, there is at the bottom. Yeah. We just thought we'd throw it in. Yeah. Jay, thank you for coming to see us.
Thank you.
It was wonderful to spend time with you. Round of applause for guest Jay Blaze. Thank you, Jay.
That was
an amazing story. Yeah. That.
And Waitrose, don't forget my Bakewell tart.
Bakewell tarts. We're on it.
Coming up next week, a legend of the podcast game, Elizabeth Day.
Champagne, crab, and a vodka martini.
I know, on a Friday.
On a Friday.
Do I have to sleep with you?
No, because
I'm up for it. Totally up.
If you are looking for some inspiration for dinner this week, check out waitrose.com/dish recipes for all the meals that Angela has made on the podcast. Angela and I are here for you. If you want to ask a question or get something off your chest, kitchen related. It's Dish at waitrose.co.uk.
Dish is an SE Creative Studio production.
Waitrose, food to feel good about.